I want to tell you that if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need would have been for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But because our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us Jesus the Savior in order to forgive our sins, that we might live with Him forever. Do you want to live the Christ-like life? Then rather than being a getter, try to be a giver. Because that characterized the life of Jesus. And if we want to be freed from financial bondage, you better let the real you cry out to God today. Lord, I want to be freed from financial bondage. And God will answer that prayer.
Welcome to Leading the Way with Pastor and International Bible Teacher, Dr. Michael Youssef. With the economic situation on everyone's mind, Michael's message today will no doubt hit home. Finances are tough all the way around. Whether you work in small business or in the corporate world, being free from financial bondage is God's best for all. So if you're feeling a little bit of pressure on your family budget, give a listen. You just might find the spiritual key. Here now is Dr. Michael Youssef.
In Nehemiah chapter 5, we are left with no doubt as to the importance of moral and spiritual character in leadership. If we are seeking God's blessing upon this nation, we had better forget about lining our pocketbook temporarily as that may be, and seek and pray for spiritual integrity in these uttermost important positions of leadership, whether it be in the government or in the church. And one of the vital ways by which we can determine the question of character is how we handle money. The way I handle money reveals my inner character. The way I spend my money reveals who I am inside. As I was preparing this sermon from Nehemiah chapter 5, I came under a firm conviction, and I mean really firm conviction, that I would not win a popularity contest teaching on the subject of money. But I hope that you're not going to get squirmish today when you hear me talking about freedom from financial bondage. But if you do, chances are that you need to listen to me the most. And please take what I'm telling you as a word from the Lord and not from Michael Youssef. Because I believe the Lord has a purpose in your life. And He's trying to achieve His purpose in your life and His will through you. But if you are in bondage to finances, He is not able to do so until you are freed and liberated. One of the surest measuring stick of one's character is how to handle material possessions. I want to tell you, please hear me, and I hope you love me after this, because I think all the sanctimonious dribble will not do it. All the language of Zion is not going to prove it. For we are either masters of our money or the money is mastering us. Where are you? Either we will handle what God has put in our hands faithfully, or we will mishandle them with our deep regret. I want to tell you that there are 2,000 verses in the Word of God that speak directly on the subject of handling money and material possessions. Did you know that the Lord Jesus spoke more about the right and the wrong use of material possession than He spoke about heaven and hell combined? Have you asked yourself why? Because money relates to eternity. Money relates to the eternal. Because Jesus said, you are either going to master your money, or money is going to master you and becomes your master. And when money becomes your master, therefore Jesus is not your master. You cannot have both. You got to have one or the other. And when Jesus Christ is not your master, chances are you will not wind up being in heaven with him. And that is why Jesus spoke about it so sincerely and so often. And that is why Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, he said, "Don't lay up treasures only on things below, but on things above, lay treasures in heaven." How? By giving it to the work of God. By giving it to the work of the kingdom. The folks in Nehemiah's time were mastered by money. They were shackled, they were chained by money. In verse 1, it tells us there was a division among them. Just as they're going along, happily building the wall, obeying God, having victory over their outside enemy, just as they were doing all of this, a crisis that has taken place in relationship to money that was going to leave them in far worse shape, that was going to tear down the wall, worse than when the Babylonian came and attacked them and destroyed the wall. The devil often uses and causes division on the subject of money. That's his strategy. He uses that in families between husband and wife. He uses it in the churches. He uses it, yes, in government. In verse 2, it tells us that there was a shortage of human resource, the human necessity, and they were paying high prices for it. Verse 3, you will meet some Israelites that were mortgaged up to their eyeballs. Sounds familiar? In verse 4, there was a problem of debt. They were borrowing money just to get by. In fact, they were borrowing money to pay their taxes. And Nehemiah's people were in such severe financial bondage. As a result of this, in verse 5, you will find them in total financial slavery. They were mortgaging the future of their children. They said, "We are selling our children into slavery. We are in such debt." And there are many Christians today who are in such financial bondage. And I believe with all my heart, if I don't believe this, I would not be standing right here, that it is not the will of God for anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ to be in bondage of any kind, especially financial bondage. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Sometimes, I want to repeat the word, sometimes God does not answer the prayer of a person who is in financial bondage. You'll say, "Well, I've been praying for this, or I'm praying for this person, and I'm wondering why God is not answering prayer." Let me ask you this. Are you in financial bondage? Do you give the Lord the first fruit, or do you give Him the leftovers? Read Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you will see that God promised His people blessings, not bondage. But the devil wants to keep us in bondage. He wants to keep us enslaved. He wants to keep us away from the blessing of God that God wants to give us. And Satan often uses our money to put us in such financial chains. And we're not going to let him. In the book of Nehemiah, God's people were turning on one another. They began fighting among themselves. Over what? Over money. I am told that the vast number of divorces end up mostly, vast number, not all, but majority of them, over financial problems. Nehemiah chapter 5, I believe with all my heart, is relevant today for anyone who's struggling with the issue of money and material possessions. It is very relevant today. It was the devil's strategy to divide the people of God during the time of Nehemiah over the issue of money and stop the work of God that God supernaturally have raised Nehemiah to do. And this is still his plan today in the life of believers in this modern day. But not only those who were having hard time with their spending habits that were in bondage, not only those who were having such a hard time paying their bills were in financial bondage, but there was another group who were in financial chains too. But you see, financial bondage has nothing to do with the amount. I can be a bond slave to a dollar just as much as the other guy would be a bond slave to $100 million. The amount doesn't make any difference. Bondage is the issue, not the amount. So there were this group of nobles, verses 6 and 7. And Nehemiah had to confront them. Those who had the money, but they were using it to manipulate. Those who had the money, they were using it to exploit. They were charging exorbitant interest rate. Look again at verse 6 and in verse 7. And Nehemiah got angry, but he didn't blow his stop. He became creative, and he came up after prayer, and he said, now here's what we're going to do. And he challenged them, and they've accepted it and repented and moved on. And now they said, we will pay it back. Because that's what happened when Jesus comes into your life. When Jesus challenges Zacchaeus to come down from the tree, Zacchaeus immediately said, Lord, if I have wronged anybody, that's a big F. I mean, he of course knew he did. He wronged a lot of people. He said, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. Anybody that I've taken to the cleaners, I'm going to pay them double. And that's what happened when Jesus Christ invaded your life. I heard of a revival took place in a town in Oklahoma. And the banker said, I don't know what's going on. He said, but I want to go and find out. He said, everybody's paying their debt. Nehemiah teaches us three principles. I want to cover them very quickly. Verses 14 to the end. Here are the three principles for freedom from financial bondage. Principle number one, verses 14, 15, and 16. Put God first. Nehemiah was appointed by the king to be a governor, but he did not take advantage of his position. He did not personally try to make a profit. He laid aside his personal rights and he put God first. He said, I fear God and you better do too. He was living by the New Testament principle of seeking first the kingdom of God, and God is going to take care of your needs. The lordship of God in his life dominated, and not the love of money, not the love of accumulation of things. Nehemiah refused to lay up treasures on the earth at the expense of laying up treasures in heaven. And if money is our God, then we will never be freed until we renounce it. And renounce it by giving it away to the kingdom of God and the kingdom work. You see, money is an idol that can devour its worshiper. Verse 16, Nehemiah said, I continued to work and I bought no land. What's that mean? He said, I did not buy land cheap to take advantage of the needy. He could have personally profited and made a fortune. But he was completely honest in his financial dealings. Why? Because God came first in his life. If you want God to come first in your life, you better learn how with his power can get unshackled from the love of money. Second principle is this, verses 17 and 18. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Nehemiah said that there were 150 people eating at my table every day. And they weren't eating baked bean out of a can either. I mean, look at the feast that they were eating every day. 150 people, they were eating there for 12 years. How do you like that, ladies? Nehemiah was generous for these 12 straight years. He hosted these people at his table. And God kept on supplying his needs. He did not tax the people to do it, but rather he depended on God. When was the last time did you depend on God? And God kept on providing, and God kept on pouring it in, and God kept on giving it to Nehemiah because Nehemiah kept on giving it away. Nehemiah was addicted to giving. And I want to tell you, this is one addiction that's good for you to have. The only one. The Bible said, God loves the cheerful giver. Do you know what the Greek word literally means? The hilarious giver. We ought to get excited, hilarious about the opportunity. Not just to get a blessing, but to be a blessing. You know, there are some people who actually think, and you don't get blamed for that. They actually think that if they give God, they're going to be worse off. That is, if they got $100 here and they're going to give 20 out of that, they're going to end up with 80. Now, that's what the mathematics of the world says. But God's mathematics is different. The biblical view of your net worth is not the total sum of your stocks and bonds and real estate holdings. God's view of your net worth is how much money you've given to the kingdom. And the Bible does not emphasize what you have. The Bible emphasizes what you gave. And I'm convinced that God's people who love Jesus want to give. But the problem is that we are in such financial bondage that we don't know how to. We are like the elephants in the jungle of Thailand. You know, in the jungles of Thailand, the elephant hunters go out, and when they catch an elephant, they put a huge chain on its legs. On the one end of the chain, and the other end of the chain is tied to a banyan tree. Have you seen a banyan tree? I mean, nothing is going to make that tree budge. What happens? The elephant keeps kicking. He keeps kicking, and he will not make a dent in that banyan tree. Day after day, he tries to get unshackled. Day after day, he tries to get unshackled, and he can't. And a few weeks later, he gets used to that spirit of slavery. So they take the same chain, and they go out there outside of a circus, and they put the chain, the other end of the chain, in a simple stake in the ground. And the elephant wouldn't budge, doesn't even try. He could do it without the least bit of effort, but he doesn't do it. Why? Because he has already been enslaved to that chain. He has become enslaved to a habit. He has become enslaved to a practice. And when we don't have a plan to get out of debt in order to give God with joy and with excitement, we are in that same bondage. We have the desire to give, but we don't have the design to give. I want to challenge you, families, couples, singles, get on your knees and say, God, how can I get out of this? And if you need help, get somebody who can help you. Plan your giving to be systematic. The Bible said in the first day of the week, what does that mean? That everybody has to do it that way? Well, that's a good way to do it. But be systematic. That is really the principle behind it. If you get paid monthly, then do it monthly. If you get paid annually, then do it annually. Do it in a systematic way. Because when you do it that way, you're going to avoid being a prey to emotional appeals. You're going to avoid sending money to some television preacher who said to you that God is going to kill him unless you send him money. Then there's a third principle, and it is this. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Nehemiah depended on God to supply his every need, and God did. And beyond his expectations. You put God first in your life and in your pocketbook. Not the last, but first. And you'll be freed from financial bondage. And you know what happened in addition? God is going to take care of all your needs. You don't have to worry. You cannot outgive God. But when you learn to master your money, God will pour it in again and again. For God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave His best. And when Paul was thinking about the gift that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. For this unspeakable gift." When it came to the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a cross, dying so you can be redeemed, so I can be redeemed from eternal hell and be in eternity with Him. When it comes to that, you can't describe it. You can't explain it. I want to tell you that if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need would have been for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But because our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us Jesus the Savior in order to forgive our sins, that we might live with Him forever. Do you want to live the Christ-like life? Then rather than being a getter, try to be a giver. Because that characterized the life of Jesus. You see, we have facades and we have masks and we put them on, but they don't impress God. God looks straight through me and see me. And if we want to be freed from financial bondage, you better let the real you cry out to God today. Lord, I want to be freed from financial bondage. And God will answer that prayer. With this, and I'm going to conclude, is a modern opera by Leonard Bernstein entitled The Mass, M-A-S-S. It's an explanation of the Catholic Mass. And there is a scene in that opera that is relevant to most of us, I dare say all of us. There's a scene in that opera where the priest celebrating the Mass puts on his priestly vestments. And then he puts on vestment on top of a vestment on top of a vestment. He puts on a beautiful robe on top of a beautiful robe. And then the priest begins to stagger under the weight of that tradition. And then he begins to feel that religiosity is about to destroy him. So finally the priest rips the vestments and stands before the altar in blue jeans and a t-shirt. And he sings, "Look at me, there is nothing but me under this." In many ways, I try to do that spiritually every Sunday. Because you see, we worry too much about our image, what people think of us. And those are bondages in themselves. But God doesn't care about that. He cares about the real you, your hurts and your joys. God cares about the real you. He doesn't care about what name you carry. He cares about the real you. Forget about what people say. Forget about the image in society. Forget about all that. God wants the real you to stand and say, "Lord God, that's me underneath all of this. Liberate me. Free me from whatever bondage that is holding me back from being a blessing to the kingdom."
You're listening to Leading the Way and a message called Freedom from Financial Bondage from our teacher, Dr. Michael Youssef. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's study from Nehemiah, contact us for ordering details. You can phone anytime, 1-800-337-5323, or you can go online and order directly from our website, leadingtheway.org. Now, many of you have contacted us recently wondering about the best way to support the global outreach of Leading the Way, and we appreciate that. So we're going to take one quick moment to let you know. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on your financial blessings. Some of you send generous one-time gifts to the ministry, maybe a portion of your tax return. Yeah, they're due in just a few days. Or when God blesses you with a bonus or an unexpected windfall, you bless the ministry. It's a perfect way to thank God for His blessings by pouring some or all back into the kingdom. Now, there are others of you who join the Leading the Way monthly fellowship partners. These are the people who commit to give monthly to the ministry, and this can be automated so you don't have to worry about sending a check or calling each and every month. In fact, this month, Dr. Youssef is sending out a copy of his new book, Blindsided, The Radical Islamic Conquest. It's his gift to those who become brand new monthly partners. This is a passionate and extremely timely book, and you'll want to have it in your library or to pass it along to a friend once you've finished. So whether you'd like to send a one-time gift or become a monthly fellowship partner, just use that number I mentioned a moment ago and give us a call, 1-800-337-5323. That's 1-800-337-LEAD. Or you can go online to leadingtheway.org. Take time to look around when you're there. Learn more about Dr. Michael Youssef and the ministry at leadingtheway.org. Well, friends, we thank you so much for joining us this week for Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. We keep you in our prayers. We thank you for your encouragement, and we thank you for tuning in. We'll see you here next time for Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.